Evening. There's a few things I've learned about Tanner so far. Y'all are huggers, and food is good, and very caring people. Didn't get lost here, but I want to say thank you to Robert and the elders, and everyone that is here tonight. Means a lot, and I didn't hesitate to accept the opportunity to speak here. Now, I want you to go on a journey at the beginning of this lesson. I want you to go on a journey with me, and you're playing this game called life. And in life, you have decisions you have to make. For the younger kids, my age and younger, it's what grade you want to make in school, who you want to hang out with, and whether or not we listen to our parents, which to the kids I highly suggest. And for adults, for me making the transition to a young adult, it's, and for y'all, it's where do I want to buy a house at? Who do I want to be married to? Who do we want to spend the rest of our life with? What kind of job? And how do you want to raise kids? And there are two similarities between kids and adults. And go back to that journey of life. Guess what? In life, you're going to hit rock bottom at times. And when you hit rock bottom, there's an old saying, the strong will survive. And when you hit rock bottom, how are you going to look at that tough situation? And how are you going to handle that tough situation? Those two things are either going to make you or break you. And as we go through this lesson tonight, I want to challenge you to two things. I want us to look at tough situations as not only a challenge, but an opportunity. And if you handle them in the right way, it's going to turn out really good. And always remember that the best is yet to come. When you hit rock bottom and you let God allow you, if you allow God to help you, the best is yet to come. And when you hit rock bottom, you know who should be a big influence on your life? On our life, when we hit rock bottom. And that's a man in the Old Testament called Job. You see in the book of Job, in the first chapter, Satan first attacks Job's character. And when we hit rock bottom, our character is the first thing to go. Our character is the very first to go, just like Job. And then later on, in chapter 1, Job loses his property and his children. And I don't have kids, and I don't plan on having kids for quite a while. But it would be tough to lose a child. And then chapter 2 comes. And Satan attacks Job's health. And where I want to focus at on Job is what his wife says in verses 9 and 10. And it reads, "Then his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die.'" You see, as Christians, we're going to be persecuted, and we're going to be put in bonds, and we're going to be asked questions. History recalls it. People had to wear bands on their arm, and they were asked the question, "Do you believe in God?" And I'm not saying times are going to get this tough, but people are going to make in front of us for believing in God. And the strong will survive. And it takes a lot of character to be put in a situation and say, yes, I believe in God. And then, listen to what Job says. But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." We're going to come back to Job, but the summary of the book of Job is Job lost everything. And later on tonight, we're going to come back to this and look and see how Job handled it. Look back at that journey, and I have one question for you. Do you believe that you're an influence on somebody in life? Do you believe that you make an impact on somebody's life each and every day? We need to use Job and understand you can be a good influence at the hardest of times if you handle it the right way. If you overcome the hard time, you will be a good influence. I heard this story from my roommate going through college. And this story has been stuck on my head for a very long time, ever since I heard it a few months ago. And you could look it up on the internet. There's different versions of it and everything. It's called The Lady with the Fork. This lady was fighting illness for 3 months. And she was talking to her preacher, getting her funeral arranged and everything. They picked out the songs and everything, and they pray. He gets up, he asks, "Is there anything else?" She says, "No, no, no." He goes to walk out the door, he puts his hand on the doorknob, and she yells out, "Wait, there's one more thing." And she says, the preacher says, "What?" He says, "What is it?" And the next thing shocks the preacher, almost knocks him to the floor. And she says, "I want to be buried with a fork." And he asks, "What do you mean you want to be buried with a fork?" She answers the question, "What do you mean? What do I mean?" She says, "You've been to church events where there's food, you eat your hamburgers, hot dogs, pizza, chicken, whatever it is for your main course. But you always know that there's always a dessert to come. And I save my fork because if I get rid of my fork, I'm afraid there's not going to be another fork waiting on me. And I want my dessert. Me, I love dessert. I love a sun-drop cake, upside-down cake, any dessert there is." And he says, "I understand." And she says, "Wait. The reason I want to be buried with a fork is because I know the best is yet to come." And that's when it hit him. This lady went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. And she was baptized and she followed what the Bible says. And she was dedicated. And she knew here on life that we're going to leave material things behind. And we have something better waiting on us. And she says, "Promise me one thing." And he says, "What's that?" She says, "When they see that fork in my hand at my funeral, I want you to sit down and have a heart-to-heart talk with everybody that asks and that is willing to talk to you." He does it, and every person he talked to, he had the Bible in his hand, and it was a Bible lesson. And he cried every single time. I challenge you, the next time you look at a fork, you're never going to look at it the same. Especially when you're going through a tough time. For me, a fork is a symbol that the best is yet to come. And there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how far deep it is. Let's look back to Job. Did he realize the best is yet to come? You can read the book of Job, and he never fell into Satan's wants or temptations. You know what he did, though? He listened to God, and he stuck with God. What happened at the end of Job? Guess what? Look at Job 42, starting at verse 12. And I want to read all of this. I'm going to start at verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. This is the very end. The very summary of Job is Job lost everything. And let's see what happens at the end. Starting at verse 10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintance before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a gold ring. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 4,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called them the name of the first, Gemini, the name of the second, Keza, and the name of the third, Charon Havana. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of his days. Job stuck with God. When I read the end of Job, you know what it took me back to? The story in the garden at the very beginning in Genesis, Adam and Eve. Did God turn his back on human, or did human turn their back on God? You see, when we're faced with hard times, we can all agree on one thing. When life gets harder, it's easier to fall into temptation. Because it's a proven fact that when we hit rock bottom, that's when we're most vulnerable. God blessed Job with much more than he had before. 6,000 camels, that's a lot of camels. The choice is yours. It's our choice. What will you do when you hit rock bottom? Flip over to Philippians 4, verse 13. And listen very closely here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me read it one more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God gives us a strength. He's always there for us. When you hit rock bottom, are you there with God? I challenge you to reflect on the lady with the fork. She saw the better part of life. She saw, no matter the situations in hand, that the best was yet to come. And Job, what did he do? He did what the Bible said. You see, we're all given a playbook. I'm a big sports fan. What happens when an NFL player doesn't listen to the rule book? We all know what happens. If he doesn't know a play, the coach said, what happened? The player can't lie to the coach. The coach already knows. They get cut. We all have a playbook. Our playbook is the Bible. What happens if we don't know the Bible? We're not supposed to know it all. I want to go back to the question. Are you an influence? We're all an influence. It all matters what kind of influence are you. Especially in the hardest of times. We see Job, everything was taken from Job. What kind of influence was he? We see he was a man that had a restart. He was very ill in health. Had nobody there. His wife yelled at him. And he turned back and said, I'm not going to betray my God. I challenge you to be like Job and the lady. And I challenge you to go by your playbook. And when times get tough, I want everybody to be a good influence when times get tough. You see, back to what I said earlier, that when we're going through a tough time, it's very easy to be tempted by the worldly ways. Look at Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And it reads, my Bible has headings on the very top before some of the verses if it's different from the verses before it. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 read, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. What is this scripture telling us about? Wide is the gate. You know, going from Lewisburg to Nashville on the interstate, this is the best analogy I can come up with. It's kind of like an interstate. It's easy to go down. And a lot of people in rush hour, they get off and go the back way. Guess what happens? The back roads get clogged up. They do. You got to tough it out. Hopefully you left early for work. It's very easy to go down that four-lane highway. Very easy. But it's really difficult to go down a two-lane road. I picture a life in this passage as four lanes. And you know what the Christian life is like? It's a curvy, bumpy road. And those speed bumps, they're everywhere. They are everywhere, and there might be a big pothole that might get you a flat tire. You going to put that tire back on and keep on trucking? Or are you going to give up? I know I keep repeating that, but it's very important that you challenge yourself to not only be a strong person and get through the tough times strong and in a godly way, but it's very vital. And it's very vital to seek every opportunity in life as a chance to influence somebody. And you see, right before this, in chapter 6, there's a section called Do Not Worry. It says, do not worry about the food that you're going to eat, because God's going to provide you a way. God is providing us a way. He provides us three ways to be a good influence in life, upon ourselves and upon, there's one option that you can be to help out somebody else. He gave us the Bible for one. That's our playbook. Our Bible is our playbook. And He gave us a choice of prayer. And He also gave us all a great church family. The church is the people. And we can all look around and one day, there's a commercial, not if why, but when. If not how, but when. It's for insurance. It's not when is it going to happen, but how are you going to handle it? How are you going to handle the tough situations in life? Are you going to choose to read your Bible daily and choose to pray to God to help you? And are you going to choose to be that person that somebody can go to ask for help? Growing up, I was always told the golden rule. And as a kid, that's very hard to follow. Treat your neighbor as you want to be treated, or love thy neighbor as you want to be loved. Let's go back to the title of this lesson. If the last thing you ever hear me say, I would learn it to be, the best is yet to come. And we never are promised tomorrow. And who knows? You may be tough situation right now. But God's there. And let's go back to one of those three points. Pray. Look at Ephesians 6. And we're going to look at verse 10. And then we're going to read a few more verses below this. Verse 10 reads, and a little bit of context about this chapter. Ephesians 6, we're introduced to the body armor of God. He gives us armor to fight off temptations. And I'm not looking at the armor we wear in this verse. In this verse, we're told, in verse 10, we're told, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Follow God in everything you do. Be strong in the Lord. And The best is yet to come if you follow God and do what the Bible says. And also, this is how important prayer is. Look at verses 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. The NIV version, I looked it up and I was going to use it, but I didn't. My NIV is a big study Bible and it's just a hassle. It says pray in all occasions. Supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Are you going to speak boldly about the gospel? Are we speaking boldly about the gospel? Are we standing firm in the gospel? And are you praying? Are we praying for help in every occasion we face in life? One of my favorite people in the whole Bible is Paul. And the verse that sticks out to me for all of Paul is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He is saying here, for me living, I'm willing to talk about Jesus no matter what happens. But for me to die is a gain. He's talking about heaven. And if you follow what the Bible says, and you're baptized and you repent as it's needed, where you're going to get heaven. Paul is a very strong character. He was put on trial a lot. He was put in jail a lot. Guess what? Through all those, for Paul, I wouldn't necessarily call him a rock bottom. I would say they were opportunities. Because he wrote letters. And he helped churches out. He inspired churches. And he got churches back straight. Job and Paul are really good influences. And we need to be like them. I love the song, the children's song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. For me, that bush is like a, I don't know what a bushel is, maybe the same thing as a bush, but I don't know. But I see Robert up here laughing, but it's okay. But that's a speed bump. Are you letting your Christian light shine always through every situation in life? In the toughest situations, when you hit rock bottom, when you have to hit that restart button, are you letting your Christian light shine? The choice is yours. Will you obey what the gospel says? And do everything that is needed in life? And see the light at the end of the tunnel? In Matthew 7, again, remember, it is very easy to fall into temptations at the hardest of times. Very, very easy. The apostles, they were one of them denied Christ three times. Peter did. And Peter denied him three times. He was asked in the crowd once, and he was asked other places once. And he was asked one other place one time again, three times. We see later on in 1 John, guess what Jesus did? He asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, I love you. Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, I do. He asked him one more time, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I do. Peter denied Jesus three times, but guess what? Guess who is still there with him? Every step Peter took, Jesus was there with him. Every step you take, you're being helped. I'm an LSU fan. Criticize me if you want. But the only time that I never thought the best was yet to come was when they got rid of Les Miles. But I gotta do what my sermon says. It says the best is yet to come. And I'm looking forward to that season when LSU beats Alabama. I am. It may not happen, but I'm hoping the best is yet to come. We're all familiar with Monopoly. I can't win at it. I can't win at it. I got beat today at it. In Monopoly, guess what? We have to make decisions. In life, guess what? We have to make decisions. The biggest decision you're going to make in life is whether you choose to follow Jesus and God. Whether you choose to follow what the Bible says. No matter what. No matter what sports team you like. That's the easy decision. What sports team you like. Whether your hobbies. Those are easy decisions. And when times get tough, that's when it's going to be the hardest. And again, I challenge you that we all will make that decision. And we all listen to what the scriptures say in Matthew chapter 5. And I was challenged to read all the Beatitudes daily when times were tough. And I challenge each one of us in here tonight to read Matthew 5, verses 3 through 10 every day. Because they're very inspiring. Listen. And it says, starting in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I'm going to keep reading. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." When you think you're the only one that's facing a tough time, remember, your next door neighbor could be facing a tough time. And you can work it out. God's there. God's there for you. He wants you. What does verse 12 read again? "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The generation before mine, people were persecuted. The generation before yours, people were persecuted. Guess what? Guess what's still alive? The gospel is still alive. They've tried for years and years and years to get rid of the gospel. And times may seem tough, but you still have the gospel to read. And God is always going to be there. Be like Job and Paul and the lady. And remember, when you look at the fork, the best is yet to come.